Hello, my name is Meg. Welcome to the Unedited Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. The goal of this podcast is to help you both develop and enjoy the habit of daily Bible reading and prayer. About 20 years ago, at a very low spot in my life, I was convicted to begin this simple discipline, and I looked up years down the road to see how God had used this habit to heal deep places in my heart and do incredible things in my life. And so over the years, it's really become my greatest passion to help others get to know Jesus through His Word and through His presence. Through this podcast, I'm hoping to help you see the Word of God with fresh eyes, to learn to slow down with your Bible, and ultimately to fall in love with Jesus and to fall in love with your Bible. So thank you so much for joining me today. I am so, so grateful that you are here. Happy Friday. You're here, I'm here. And I think that makes for a pretty fun time. Yesterday, I was listening to Elizabeth Elliot's old radio program called Gateway to Joy. And several times she said, "This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot." And I just loved that. It felt very comforting. And so, this is your friend, Meg. This week, I will turn 46. And in the podcast, every single week, I say about 20 years ago. And I realized it's actually been about 23 years ago. Because I was 23 when I started the habit of Bible reading and prayer. And so, this coming year marks the literal halfway point of my life, my life in Bible reading, prayer, and journaling. So kind of a special birthday, but I might need to change that to about 23 years ago at a very low spot in my life. Random thoughts with your friend Meg. Anyways, today I am going to talk about a very simple concept, a little phrase, "They can wait." This is sort of my tip for today. Last Saturday, I sat down a lot later than I normally do. It was about 7:30, and I looked at my phone, and I had a lot of texts, and so I felt the pressure to respond to those texts. And I was sitting down in the spot where I normally read and pray, and I pulled my phone out real quick to just catch up, which I do sometimes, especially since I go to bed very early most nights. I'll try to catch up in the morning. But I was in my prayer spot already, and as soon as I got my phone out, immediately, I just heard these words in my mind, "They can wait." And I put my phone away, and as soon as I put my phone back in my pocket, it was immediate. There was this thick, sweet, tangible presence of God that just settled on me, and I had the most amazing time with Jesus. And ever since that moment, it was like as soon as I heard that, I knew that was going to be this week's podcast, and I've just had it in my spirit all week. They can wait. And that's my tip for this week. We live in a world where we are constantly busy. There's constant distractions. We have responsibilities. We have pressures. We have myriad forms of communication. And it's always been challenging throughout human history since the fall for the human to connect with the divine, for our natural minds, for our flesh to connect with an infinite God. Really, just our humanity makes it difficult, right? Just our own thoughts, our own mind, our own ability to chase squirrels, that makes it difficult. That was why one of the very first episodes I did on this podcast was called The Battle, because you're in a battle for this habit. Just our flesh makes it difficult. But then you throw in a high-powered mini computer that we carry with us everywhere we go. Throw in a device that is our primary source of connection with other humans. It's where we do our banking. It's where we do our grocery shopping, our clothes shopping, every other thing we order on Amazon and all the other stores and apps. It's where we do our scheduling. It's where our calendar is. It's where we find recipes and place meal orders from restaurants. It's where we derive pleasure and enjoyment in social media and other apps. And really, it's where we do almost all of our communicating. And speak of communication, you throw in all the forms of communication that we did not even have 10 or 20 or 30 years ago. There was no email, voicemail, text messages, Insta messages, Messenger messages, notifications from 30 or 40 or 50 apps. There are millions of things that are vying for our attention and our affection. There is a constant pull on our emotions and for our time and our focus. There is so much research and psychology that's invested in iPhones and smartphones and social media and every app on our phone. They're intended to be addictive. They're intended to get our attention. And they are a powerful tool in the hand of the enemy to keep us from daily devotions, from communion with God, from fellowshipping with God, and from friendship with Him. I wish I had looked up some of the statistics, but I've heard a few things over the last year or so from Carrie Newhoff, and recently on a podcast I listened to with Dr. Cal Newport about distractibility, about focus. I believe it takes 23 minutes to recover from a distraction when you are engaged in focus work. And I listened to a podcast where he was talking just about deep work and about focused work. And these doctors, these computer scientists, they do not have their phones by them when they are doing deep work. And that is for earthly ends. That is for human insight, human knowledge, human ingenuity. They refuse to have their phones by him. And again, this is a massive form of distraction in our relationship with God to keep us from fellowship and friendship with him. On Wednesday night, my pastor read 1 Kings 19:11. This is God speaking to Elijah, or God interacting with Elijah. And it says, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain." And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. And my pastor said, "He's a whispering God. Are we close enough to hear when he whispers?" And the only way to develop closeness with God is to spend time with him. It's to sit with him every single day, to be in his word, this revelation of himself that he's given us. And really the only way to spend time with him is to turn off all the other distractions, to put away our devices, my device, and to train our hearts and our minds to seek him. I remember when I had interviewed Josh Carson last fall, he said, "Do you want your prayer to get off the ground? Put it in airplane mode." We have to learn to manage our phone. And so that's my tip for today. They can wait. Email can wait. Voicemail can wait. Texts can wait. Insta messages can wait. Messenger messages and notifications can wait. And you might hear that and say, "Well, isn't that rude?" I think it's okay. And again, I do, before I drive to church, check my text and try to catch up on anything. If I don't want to keep people waiting for hours and hours, right? I'm not saying to make this a hard, fast rule that you cannot even look at your phone. But I think during the time that we are seated to focus on the Lord, it is so important to so much more important to focus on him and not to allow anybody else to interrupt that time. And so it may seem rude to some. I think it's far more rude to allow my phone to constantly distract me from the king. I wouldn't look at my phone if I was at lunch with King Charles. Like, let's face it, if we got invited to lunch at Buckingham Palace, we would not be checking our phone every 3 minutes or every 5 minutes. We would put it away. And in this day and age, our connection with him will mostly be because we make everything else wait, especially our phones, and prioritize him and prioritize his presence and his face. He's the king. Everything else can wait. They can wait. Today I'm going to share an unedited journal entry called "He's Still Working on Me." Today's unedited entry, "He's Still Working on Me." Parthenon, 10 years. Colosseum, 7 to 8 years. Great Wall of China, 2,300 years. Taj Mahal, 22 years. Great Pyramids, 15 to 30 years. The Eiffel Tower, 2 years, 2 months, 5 days. Leaning Tower of Pisa, 200 years. Notre Dame, 200 years. Feeling very undone, very incomplete, very in the process and inadequate. But I am reminded of Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. New Living Translation says, for we are God's masterpiece. New International Version says, for we are God's handiwork. The Greek word for workmanship here is number 4161, poiema, a product, i.e. a fabric, that which has been made a work. It is where we get our English word poem. I remember going to Greece several years ago and that verse taking on a new meaning as I was awestruck by the intricacy, detail, and durability of the antiquities. I had never seen something ancient as far as man-made prior to that. As we visited the Parthenon, the Temple of Nike Athena, and other ancient monuments, the phrase, "We are his workmanship," took on new light. We are his workmanship, his masterpiece, an ongoing work of value and beauty in which the master artist is taking great care and attention to detail. As is often said, Rome wasn't built in a day, and as it turns out, neither were any of the other monuments, memorials, cathedrals, or temples that have stood the test of time. God is committed to the ongoing process of workmanship, of artistry, of forming me into his image, which reminds me of the words of Elizabeth Elliot. What does it take to form his image in you? It takes a chisel and a file and a hammer. So when I look around my life and it looks like a construction site with piles of untouched marble, or I feel the blow of the artist's chisel cutting into and removing parts of what I've been, or the process is taking much longer than I anticipated, let me remember another verse written by Paul. He that has begun a good work in you will perform or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's committed to see the building of this life all the way through to completion. Like the old song says, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. He's so patient and gentle as he works. He's a gentle shepherd and he's a gentle artist, though sometimes, as mentioned in that entry, the blows of the chisel don't feel all that gentle. But he's working and he's creating something. He has the vision. He knows the end result. And I was thinking of the verse that says, I think it's in Peter, and it talks about how you're being kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed in the last time, and how artists reveal. Artists, there's a showing of the work at an art show. And there's going to come a day where the final product of our life, that glorification moment when we get to heaven, and God's going to reveal this beautiful thing that he's done in your life and my life, this product of redemption and restoration, of making something out of nothing. Like, the materials he has to work with in us aren't all that amazing, but he does the work. He's the one with the vision, and he's the one. He's committed to the process. So stick with the process. If you're in a long process like me, stick with it. He's going to stick with us. And in the times when you're seeking his face, in the time that you've set aside to seek him, remember that they can wait. Thank you so much for joining me for this journey. I look forward to meeting up with you again next Friday. If you have questions or to download a typed or a handwritten transcript of today's entry, you can visit megunedited.com. For now, go grab your journal and your Bible. I so look forward to the power of this habit in your life. This is Unedited. This is for you. Happy, happy Friday.